You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
When uranium ore is crushed and purified, the powder is bright yellow. It is this yellow cake that is packaged in steel drums, traded and sent across the world to be further processed, converted to different forms, enriched, and used in the manufacture of nuclear fuel or bombs. Saskatchewan is rich in uranium ore. The province has a new yellow cake road, a road that is being developed through the collaboration of the provincial government, corporations, and the University of Saskatchewan. This road seems destined to lead to the Alberta tar sands and nuclear reactors in Saskatchewan. To trace the yellow cake trail, we are joined by Darcy Handy in Saskatoon. He is a retired archivist, environmental activist, and author of a feature article on this subject in the current issue of Briar Patch magazine. Good morning, Darcy, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you.
So the mining of uranium in Saskatchewan is not a new phenomenon, and it goes back to the 40s, and there's been many NDP governments since then. Can you sketch the link between uranium mining and the NDP?
Well, I think uranium was discovered in the 1930s in northern Saskatchewan, and after the Depression was over with, the provincial government under Tommy Douglas, in fact, made a big effort to encourage development of that uranium resource, and so places like Uranium City were developed in the far north of Saskatchewan, and that, you know, continued on even into the 1970s and 80s, and then when Alan Blakeney was premier, the province thought they might promote value added, and so they talked about a uranium refinery north of Saskatoon at Warman, and that met a lot with a lot of resistance by the local population, and so it kind of went undercover again, and the provincial government decided not to pursue that for a while, but it's come up again now under the Brad Wall government, a Saskatchewan party. It's a small C conservative government in Saskatchewan.
More on the Saskatchewan Party led by Brad Wall. They were elected in 2007, and there is this new effort, a renewed effort, to develop the use of uranium. Who are the key forces in this effort?
Well, the provincial government has been promoting this, but it has been in collaboration with the University of Saskatchewan. I think the university, there are people at the University of Saskatchewan, even within the administration, who are anxious to see a nuclear reactor developed for research purposes there, but they see partnering with industry as a way of achieving that. So the provincial government in 2008 established a uranium development partnership with actually Richard Florizone, who's one of the vice presidents of the University of Saskatchewan, chairing it, and made up primarily of people in industry who were interested in promoting this agenda. And one of the partners there was Bruce Power, the nuclear power agency from Ontario, which is one-third owned by Cameco Corporation, a uranium developer, and TransCanada Corporation, which is a oil pipeline company, to promote the idea of building a nuclear reactor in Saskatchewan, and as it turns out, if you do some research on it, it's actually a reactor that they had hoped would be made available for extraction of oil from the tar sands in northeastern Alberta. So they were planning on locating it in northwestern Saskatchewan, close to that resource.
And what have these three players been able to accomplish as a partnership?
Well, surprisingly, quite a bit. And largely because Brad Wall and his Conservatives, or his Saskatchewan Party compatriots here, are quick learners. They began this uranium development partnership in 2008. A report was tabled in 2009, and they promised to do a public consultation about the content of the report. But they met with a huge outcry. And Bill Boyd, who was the minister in charge of this whole effort at the time, was quite taken aback, and he said, and the press asked him, does this mean a red light to uranium development in Saskatchewan? He says, well, it's not really a red light, it's a yellow light, it's an amber light, we will proceed with caution. And what happened was that they stopped pursuing this as an industrial type of project, but in fact decided that they would package it as a reactor would be a means of developing medical isotopes, which was, of course, at the forefront in the news at that point in time. This was a couple of years ago. And the university was seen as a place where they could locate a prototype of the reactor to develop nuclear or medical isotopes with nuclear technology. In fact, the Uranium Development Partnership had identified this as a possibility, but said it was not actually financially feasible to take that route. But because of the public sentiment towards and the scare at the time of the shortage of medical isotopes, the government and the university both decided to take that tack. So now they've developed a Canadian Center of Nuclear Innovation at the university. It's considered to be a nuclear center of excellence, which is actually more or less pursuing the same objectives as the Uranium Development Partnership, and has had received considerable funding from the provincial government and the Cameco and the nuclear industry. So it's actually pursuing the same objectives, but they've cloaked it in the guise of pure nuclear research and medical applications and that sort of thing. But when you look at the makeup of the board and the business plan behind the Net Nuclear Center, you realize that it's still pursuing the same objective of creating a power source for industrial applications, i.e. oil extraction from the oil sands.
So this the public university has this Center for Nuclear Innovation, which is pushing forward research and innovation for almost explicit use for the private sector.
Right. Well, like I say, they've cloaked it in the guise of pure nuclear research and medical applications and innovation and so on. But that is, if you read behind the documents behind it, you realize that in fact it's going to be the research and development branch of the nuclear industry in Saskatchewan.
And you mentioned that Bruce Power is involved, and they actually recently retreated from their proposals to build reactors in Alberta. How does this impact what's happening in Saskatchewan?
Well, yeah, what happened was that, of course, there was huge public resistance to the idea of building a nuclear reactor in Alberta itself, and so they retreated from that scenario and decided, well, maybe they would pursue it in Saskatchewan. And I don't doubt that I think the Alberta government was actually taking more of a neutral stance. They weren't actually tipping their hand one way or the other as to whether they welcomed a nuclear reactor in Alberta, whereas the Saskatchewan government was quite in favor of it. They didn't make any bones about it. And they partnered with Bruce Power to come up with a plan back in 2008 called the Saskatchewan 2020 Plan. And this was a whole proposal that was developed between SaskPower, a Crown Corporation, and Bruce Power in Ontario, which is, of course, privately owned, or it's a corporation. And they developed this objective of developing a nuclear reactor and power accessibility in Saskatchewan by the year 2020. So that's why they called it the Saskatchewan 2020 Plan. And it's in that document, in that original proposal by Bruce Power and SaskPower, that they mentioned the possibility of exporting excess electrical power generated by the nuclear reactor to northeastern Alberta. Now, if you know the geography of Alberta, the only northeastern center of industrial or economic activity there is actually Fort McMurray and the oil sands. So there's a direct connection there.
And now these proponents of nuclear power justify it by saying that it provides clean energy, for example, for the tar sands sector, and has important medical applications. What is your evaluation of these claims?
Well, I think, the only green thing about nuclear energy is, of course, that it doesn't create further carbon imprint on our atmosphere. But of course, there are all sorts of other toxic wastes that come along with nuclear technology, and much more long-term ones, in fact. So, in fact, they're just, they're dragging a red herring across the path of the whole issue of environmental sustainability. And as I said, the idea that medical isotopes can be produced by a nuclear reactor is not necessary. In fact, they've changed tack actually at the university already, and they've found a way of producing medical isotopes using a cyclotron, which is a different technology and does not involve nuclear technology at all. So it's not necessary. You know, it's just a ruse to make the whole idea more palatable to public consumption, I think.
And now, earlier you mentioned the popular backlash when the NDP Premier Blakeney wanted to build a uranium refinery in the small town of Warman in the 70s, and he was forced to drop this idea. What opposition is there to the current nuclear project?
Well, in fact, one of the public organizations that arose at that time when they were talking about the Warman refinery was the Interchurch Uranium Committee. And that, in fact, they just celebrated their 30th anniversary here a year or two ago, and they're still active in monitoring uranium development in Saskatchewan and raising concerns about it. So they're still one of the active critics of nuclear energy in Saskatchewan. There are other organizations like the Coalition for a Clean Green Saskatchewan, which is a coalition of a number of local anti-nuke groups around the province. The Saskatchewan Environmental Society is another one. And more recently, last year, there was listeners may have heard of this, the 7,000 Generations Walk from northern Saskatchewan to the provincial legislature in Regina. They walked 800 kilometers. And these are First Nations and Aboriginal people who are very concerned about the efforts of the uranium industry, the nuclear industry, to establish nuclear waste sites in northern Saskatchewan and the Shield. So there are a lot of people who have, at the grassroots, who are very concerned about this whole agenda.
And what kind of role could opposition at the University of Saskatchewan play?
Well, in fact, as part of this as well, a group called USWORD, USSWORD, it's University Senators in Saskatchewan, working to revive democracy, was created last year to start raising these issues in the University Senate, which is the branch of university governance that has to do with public feedback, you know, or basically public the public opinion input into the university. It hasn't been received well by the University of Administration, but this USWORD group, there are 28 elected senators at the University of Saskatchewan, and the hope is that we can get as many of those senators who are elected raising this concern with the university administration. And this is one way that alumni of the University of Saskatchewan who are in your listening audience could actually participate in this and make a difference in this whole debate is by checking in with the USWORD blogspot, usword.blogspot.ca, and contact USWORD to get information as to who they can vote for in the next Senate elections, which will be happening in May and June. So it's actually very important that the university alumni take an interest and participate in this debate on behalf of the University of Saskatchewan, which we think is being taken over by corporate interests as opposed to the public interest.
And you have to be an alumnus to vote in that.
Right, yes.
Has there been any opposition from the NDP government? Or sorry, the NDP opposition, I guess.
Well, the NDP is kind of split on the issue because of the reaction that happened back in Blakeney's time. There is, and when Roy Romano and Lorne Calvert were premiers, they were NDP premiers of Saskatchewan, there was quite a dichotomy in the NDP caucus as to whether they should be pursuing nuclear development or not. So it's not a clear issue. It's something that they don't tend to talk about a lot because it creates divisions within the party. It's not the NDP is not wholly what I would call an environment-friendly party. They talk in those terms, but when it comes to nuclear development, at least, sometimes you wonder who's actually in charge there. There are notable exceptions. One of them is Peter Preble, who was actually a cabinet minister in the Calvert government who is a strong environmentalist, and he ran for re-election in this past provincial election in 2011 and was defeated, unfortunately. But.
And I wanted to ask, you mentioned briefly the several hundred-mile march from northern Saskatchewan to Regina, and that was in response to the fact that the reactors in Ontario are looking for places to dump their radioactive waste and have been looking to northern Saskatchewan as a dump site. Could you explain more about what that situation is looking like?
Well, I'm not totally familiar with it, but I know that there are still efforts by this Nuclear Waste Management Organization, which is basically an organization of the uranium industry, to manage their waste. And they are still courting two or three communities in northern Saskatchewan to host this site, and they're very aggressive about it. I just saw something not that long ago on a website for a school in northeastern Saskatchewan where the Nuclear Waste Management Organization had asked and received permission from the school board to actually set up a display at the school promoting the whole idea of, you know, the benefits to the community of having a nuclear waste management site in their community, which I really was appalled by the whole idea that school kids were being used as proselytes for this whole agenda. But this is what's going on. We are lucky that two people who are quite involved with the 7,000 Generations Walk are actually going to be running for the University Senate this time and are being endorsed by the Usward group. So, we have, if they are elected, we'll have a further voice at the University Senate just questioning this whole university or this whole nuclear agenda.
Well, the opposition movement sounds very inspiring. Thanks, Darcy, for speaking with us this morning.
Great. Well, thank you very much. And as I said, if there are University of Saskatchewan alumni in your audience, please do participate in this Senate election coming up, because it's a very vital and important part of our university history right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Best wishes for success in the campaign. And we'll point listeners to your informative article published in the current issue of Briar Patch magazine. That's titled "Follow the Yellow Cake Road." I've been speaking with Darcy Handy, retired archivist and environmental activist in Saskatoon. You can find a link to his article by going to the Red Eye website and check the links under our program for March 31st.